Hi everyone, I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. This is episode 7, 2011, part 1. Okay, so let's do a little housekeeping before we start the episode. So we had a few messages saying that they would like us to improve the sound quality of the podcast. Listen up, you flops. It is hard for us to make this podcast. I live in Singapore. Madeline lives in Montana. There's like a 13-hour time difference, and we are recording this through the ether. We encounter many technical difficulties. Today, it took us like 20 minutes just to set up the call to discuss. So our feedback to you all is that this shit is free. We have jobs that we have to work around to do this.
Yep.
We're gonna get a sponsor. We'll invest in some good mics then and give you some excellent quality recordings, but until then you're just gonna have to listen to us, you know, sound a little fuzzy.
Other people get to like record in the same room together. God, can you imagine if we got to actually
we don't even have that
fucking privilege, let alone
we can't
a quality
even see
mic.
Each other, give us a break, please. We're trying our best. Yep. But otherwise we've had very good responses to the podcast. We also wanted to talk a little bit about why we haven't done a episode on what's going on recently, and that is because every time we try to do one it becomes irrelevant because something else big happens, and it would make us look dumb if we didn't talk about that too.
When we first started recording the last one that we were going to do about Lover, the Scooter Braun thing hadn't even fucking happened. About the Lover era without including that would be absolutely irrelevant.
So what's the point in us even trying, really? I mean, you're just going to have to wait till we get to the 2019 episode to get our real thoughts on that. But you can go to our Twitters. We're pretty vocal about what we think there. Yeah. We've always thought that Scott Borchetta is trash. We've maintained that opinion for a long time.
I actually had him blocked for a really long time, and I think I only ever unblocked him because he said something. I unblocked him when Reputation was coming out because he actually had something to say.
Let's get into 2011, and I must say that compiling this, I didn't realize that this was an extremely busy year for Taylor Swift. She really, I think, decided that this year she was like, my album won't flop, I'm gonna be a pop star, and try and stop me, Bob Lefsetz. Try.
I thought that 2011 was like a fucking gap year. I'm not that I wasn't looking forward to recording 2011, but I'm definitely way more into doing 2012 and God forbid 2014. I was like, 2011, whatever. And then I was looking through the fucking the outline, and I was just like, holy shit. She never went home.
So we end 2010 with Taylor being very sad and screaming at someone on the phone in her car. So we weren't having a good time as Swifties then. But she kicks the year off with a bang on January 5th. She has 2 appearances in one night. I can't even get myself out to the movies. So I don't know how she's so busy. But today she goes, firstly, to the People's Choice Awards, where she wears a hideous pink dress.
Let me address that, because when you said in the outline, Taylor wears hideous pink dress, I was like, what? Let me look at this hideous pink dress. I can't remember it. And I logged in, and I looked at it on taylorpictures.net, and I was like, this isn't even that bad. It's not, like, amazing, but I mean, it's peachy, it's light. I was shocked that you hated that dress that much. I don't even think about it.
I think I was having a bad day when I started planning this. I was in work. I was like, oh, SMH, why am I doing this? But she wears that debatable pink dress, and she loses female artist to Katy Perry. What a moment. She loses female artist to Catherine Hudson Perry. She wins country artist, Go Queen, and she hangs out with my personal favorite friend of hers, Selena Gomez. She brings Austin Swift as her date, and this is like at the beginning of his glow up, I would say, when he starts to look a little less teenage boyish.
That was probably the first time that we saw him, or that I can remember. There might have been candids of him, and I'm thinking of them now, when, like, the first time we saw him as not being just, like, a pudgy 13-year-old boy anymore and, like, being an adult. And the number of girls who wanted to fuck him You guys, if you weren't
there,
you could not imagine. He looked like a fucking mop. And I still think that.
He does. He looks like Taylor, but kind of gone wrong.
That's exactly what it is. It's like alternate universe, like backwards world Taylor. And I don't like it. It's fucking weird. But I actually was friends with him on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, a bunch of us were. A bunch of us fucking crazy people were. And then he like went through and deleted all the psychopaths off his Twitter. Which, I mean, good for him, by the way, because that was weird. And even I, as being one of the people who was involved, can admit that it was fucking weird. But it definitely happened. There was nothing interesting there, by the way, everybody.
Oh, I was about to say, was there anything cool?
Nope, nothing. It wasn't even worth
it. Did you message him?
No, never. I never said a word to him. At least.
Oh, I would have hit him up.
At least I never did that.
If anyone out there had contact with Austin Swift during this time, please let us know for journalistic purposes.
We want to know.
We'd like to know. So she dances very outlandishly and weirdly at the People's Choice Awards, you know, as she usually does. We've come to know this style of dancing very well. I would say this would be the beginning of people starting to make fun of her for not being able to dance. And before she kind of reclaimed the narrative, reclaimed the slur of being a bad dancer.
Yes,
this was pre that.
I never thought it was that bad. I distinctly remember being there at the time and watching people say that she was a bad dancer. I was like, so what? She never said she was J-Lo last time I checked.
No, she didn't. Did she audition for So You Think You Can Dance? She didn't. No. She takes a picture with Zac Efron, who she is taller than. And I cannot express to you how obsessed I was with Zac Efron and Taylor Swift being an item back then. I think it was just because I had like a very secret gay teenage crush on Zac Efron and Taylor Swift was my favorite person. So I was like, maybe I can live through her. I really got behind this and it only got worse when they went on Ellen together. But this was the beginning, the ruminations of them being together.
I think I kind of remember that about you too, actually.
I made a couple of AU memes. Do you remember those on Tumblr?
Oh, fuck yeah, I do. Those were fun.
And they were like screen caps of Taylor in Begin Again talking to someone and then it would like flip to Zac Efron in some movie talking to someone. Yep.
Yes.
I made those.
That is the stuff.
You can find them. Then she goes to the CoverGirl party and she wears a little black dress and she has her hair up and her red lipstick on and she's ready to party. We forgot to announce last year that she'd been made a spokesperson. I think that was her first kind of like big high profile spokesperson.
Well, you're forgetting when she had a line of sundresses at Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that huge moment. Yeah. That iconic fashion changing avant-garde couture line of sundresses.
You mentioned in the outline that there's like this iconic gif of Taylor in CoverGirl, and it's of her like flipping her hair and she's got red lipstick on. So It's not only an iconic gif, it's also a really popular ad that was in like a lot of magazines back then. And it was like most of the time, if you got a Taylor Swift CoverGirl ad, it was this picture from that gif. And I absolutely fucking hate that gif and I hate that picture because I hate it because the light is so bright on her. It almost makes her look like she doesn't have a nose. Reminds me of Lord Voldemort and I don't like it at all. Everybody else like stands and I'm like, I could live not seeing it ever again.
Oh, I stand. I think I just stand because the hair is like big and ferocious and she's kind of serving with her eyes.
I guess that's true. The hair is good.
I can't believe you don't like that. That really is like the quintessential 2011 Tumblr moment.
I feel like it's one of those things that's like, it might have just been the mere exposure of it, like the amount of times that I saw it, that finally I was like, I fucking hate this. Like, I can't look at it one more fucking time.
It really was everywhere. And I still see it in gift sets to this day. Also, we wanted to get into a few little fandom bits and pieces because the people said they want to hear. So I would say that this was the beginning of all the very strange graphics where certain Taylor quotes get extremely overused, one of them being kind to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind. I never want to hear that shit again. I don't want to hear it again. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it from her mouth.
It's not one of the worst ones, but people love to use it. It's like, she said so much better shit than that, but it's still used to this day. I'll leave it at that. And this was said,
I mean, used to use it
10 years ago.
I used it on Tumblr as a way to respond to people who sent me anon hate. I'd be like, excuse me, Taylor said that being kind to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind, so I think you shouldn't send me mean things. And I thought it was such a serve to say that.
I can imagine you saying that, and I know that you thought it was a fucking serve.
We also get, I think this is the stupidest one of all, never forget the essence of your spark.
Don't forget, it's spark dot 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 oh.
I hate that. I hate it
fucking much. So for those of you who don't know, on I think it started on the Speak Now tour. I'm not sure if she did it. It was on the Fearless Tour. Okay, so it was on the Fearless Tour. If they all put their hand, like her and the agency, her band, all put their hands in the middle, and they would go, never forget the essence of your spark. It was like some like pre-show ritual that they did, which is fine. It's cute. It's stupid. It's something that they did every night. But for the life of me, I cannot discern why the girlies loved it so much. They thought
so
it
much.
Was
so
like,
much.
I mean, you want to talk about a serve. This is what these ladies thought that Taylor, I mean, like it was a silver platter meal to them, was this quote. And to this day, I am haunted by it.
This is the year that Madeline versus Swift Secrets, a decade-long one-sided feud, began.
For the people in the audience who don't know what Swift Secrets was or is, I think it still fucking exists.
I think it's still there.
Which blows my fucking mind. Is this not the year 2019 of our it Lord does. And Savior? It fucking pisses me off. In this era of Tumblr, there was like secrets pages where you could send in, you know, like anonymous opinions about, you know, your favorite thing. Like, you know, there was like Glee secrets and fucking whatever the hell else secrets, you know, just being like, I think that Lea Michele is a stupid bitch, and you send it in, and then everybody argues about it. Yep, and it's like the end of the fucking world. This anonymous thing, and it's like always on a graphic. Somebody would take the time to sit there and make a graphic on Photoshop that says something fucking shitty.
Sometimes they're really bizarre, like very weird.
Now, there are actually a couple that are just fandom legend now, like the glow stick one. And that one makes me, it's like every single thing that's ever happened that is in relation to Swift Secrets, other than somebody saying something nice for fucking once on there, it makes me so mad. The fact that I still have to hear about the glow stick secrets thing, it's just a pet peeve. I never liked the secrets.
The fact that Taylor has heard of this really makes me want to kill myself.
That's number one. The thought of her having scrolled, I can't even get started on it. So that's why I hate it. And that's why I hated it back then. I was on a one-woman crusade to shut Swift Secrets down. I was very vocal.
He hates them.
How much I fucking hated them, how I wanted them to stop sending shit. And the girls who ran Swift Secrets would like the post of me saying shut it down. They thought it was fucking funny, but it made me so mad. It's like I'm a grown adult now, and this was happening when I was like 16, 17, and I'm like hot right now. Like my body is hot and warm with speaking about Swift Secrets to this day.
This feud. I don't even know if we can call it a feud, because have they ever responded to you?
No,
like
no,
publicly?
No, they've never said a word.
Or engaged you?
They've never said a word. And this was back in the day when I was on Tumblr and you know, like I was somewhat of a figure in the Taylor Swift fandom. So they knew.
A force to be
All
reckoned with.
All of them
with.
Fucking knew that I fucking hated them, but it didn't matter to any of them. They just didn't care. And that only made me that much angrier.
They were a machine. They would post like 10 to 12 secrets a day.
It just never stopped.
If they're still going, I think the craziest, the worst thing about it is that it was, let's stress that this was never meant to be seen by Taylor. Never in our wildest dreams as idiots posting on Tumblr.com in 2010, did we think that this would ever get back to Taylor? I didn't even think she knew what Tumblr was. And now here we are. She's heard all of our most invasive and embarrassing stories. And as we know, it just leads to disaster. She needs to log off.
Well, people like promoted it to her too. Like the things that people have like gone out of their way to make sure that she's heard about, like for example, like Chicken Nugget Night or whatever the fuck. It's like, why do you want her to know about that? Wouldn't you rather her know just about anything else on the face of the planet? She exited on too.
I mean, the fact that she knows we don't have glow sticks anymore at the concerts. Does anyone else wonder why? Does anyone else want to know why we don't get merch glow sticks anymore? Because you don't know how to behave.
We don't deserve them, is the fact of the matter.
And in case anyone's wondering, I feel like we should explain. There was a Swift secret being like, when I took my glow stick home from the Fearless tour, it made me really happy, or something like that. Basically insinuating that this person was shoving it up their vaginas.
It's actually really funny because I must have seen that exact secret a million times, but I can't remember exactly what it said. I just remember there was like a little smiley face in it.
Insinuations were damaging.
It could have just stayed in the darkness where it belonged. People brought it back. They're like, haha, Taylor, look at this. Taylor, isn't this so funny? Taylor, you want to see something funny? Taylor. God, I fucking, when we start talking about 2014 and 2015, it's going to be hot and spicy.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Swifties keep spitting on our good name. It's so annoying. It's really irritating. That's, you know, to conclude a very long-winded story, that's Madeline versus Swift Secrets. It's ongoing to this day. If you'd like to engage her in it, if you'd like to tag Swift Secrets and urge that they get their PR person to make a statement in response, please ask them to do so. January 13th, 2011, we get the Back to December video. It is directed by Joanne Lemoine. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Who also directed Teenage Dream, which is a very interesting tidbit to know. And his aesthetic for her was, quote, very European. I put in my notes, beginning of mature Taylor, ? What do you think, Madeline?
Well, it kind of depends on how you think of the word mature. Because I think that some people would say that the Mine video was kind of mature. Although you also could argue that it was very, like,
immature.
Yeah, immature, because it's like fairy tale. You know, modern day fairy tale, like, we're falling in love, we get married and everything's perfect and we have these these three beautiful Aryan children. It's like, all right. So, I mean, yes.
Okay, Taylor.
Yes, I think that the Back to December video, it's her most understated video up to this point because it is what it is. Like, she's sad and she's
really
in a house. And there's a bathtub. Personally, I really liked it. I really liked when it was snowing in the bathtub. I thought that was a great, you know, fucking scene. But I will say that it is some of the hardest shit to edit on the face of the planet, and I do not know why. Like, I would try to, like, take...
It's horrible quality.
Yeah, I was, like, try to, like, take screen caps of it and, like, edit it to be like, oh, or, like, even a GIF or something and, like, edit it. And it's just, like, you could not get the colors right to save your fucking life.
And I think I've said this before, but I would really like to start a campaign to get all of her videos in high def. I don't want Tim McGraw, the video, in high def. I want Back to December. I want Mine. I want all of these great videos that are somehow in like 160p quality on YouTube. I want them all remastered. Remix it, remaster it, reimagine it, reshoot it. I don't care. I want it. Give it to me. Don't really have any thoughts about this video. I love the scene of her in the bathtub. I liked the pensive nature of it. I thought the guy they cast in the video was a weird fit.
Well,
it didn't rock the boat.
It didn't rock the boat. And I would like to say that if you're going to, Taylor, I'm speaking to you now. If you're going to go out of your fucking way to make sure that everybody knows that this is about Taylor Lautner, and you're going to say that somebody has tan skin, why the fuck are we looking at this German kid? Was he attractive? Yeah. But they didn't even film together. He shot his stuff completely separately. They never interact in the video.
I think it could have been better. And that song is so cinematic as well. You know, we just could have had so many great images. Apparently, she officially ends things with Jake around this time. Again, this is all gossip. You know, he said, she said, he said, Us Weekly said. But as we know, they keep getting back together. A little tidbit I found. The weirdest thing I think happened this year, and I remember seeing the videos of this, the allure of Taylor Swift.
I don't know why it sticks out in my brain. I think it's because she had on a really nice outfit.
For those who don't know, Taylor did a deal with some cruise ship liner to do a one night only concert on a cruise ship. And if you find the videos, it's very strange. The entire front row is like on their knees. They're like kneeling down. It's very weird. And they're like on the stage with her. And I think people were excited about this because she said she was going to be doing like a rough version of the Speak Now tour. And that's why people were kind of excited about it. So she did, I think, 11 songs. So it was less, definitely less than the tour. But she did, like, we had the Sparks Fly intro, the Drop Everything Now thing.
Like, the first time she did, like, some of those songs live before. Maybe that's why we were so fucking into it. I don't know why either. I remember it so well, though. I'm sure so do a lot of other people. And it's just like some stupid fucking performance on a fucking cruise.
I know. And we loved it. We ate it up.
We fucking ate it up.
5 days later, I think that Stone Swift continues with Taylor and Emma Stone at the Mont Blanc cocktail party. And her and Emma look terrible.
Dude, I tried to find these fucking pictures. I tried to find these fucking pictures and I couldn't find them.
They're wearing like suit jackets and bandeau wrap dresses. Taylor just looks like she clocked out of her shift at Forever 21. It's not good. I think that if you're gonna buy into the whole Taylor Swift is a lesbian theory, get off Karlie Kloss's dick and get over to Emma Stone or Diana Agron and ask them what the tea is. Ask
I think them. Diana Agron is so much more of a possible lesbian lover than Karlie Kloss. Diana Agron, I don't know. It's just that to me, as far as all the tin hatting goes, that is the one that makes the most sense. And I don't know why. I don't have any reasons. It just does. It adds up.
Yep. I'm a truther.
Yep.
It all adds up. So then on February 9th, Taylor kicks off the Speak Now World Tour. Guess where, Madeline?
Is it in Asia?
In Singapore!
Singapore!
Yes!
You went!
Yes. I went. I was at the opening night of the Speak Now World Tour. And unfortunately, that month, I had to make a decision for my finances between getting amazing tickets for Taylor or Avril Lavigne. And at that time, I chose Avril Lavigne. So I was sitting.
Oh, my God. Oh. What the fuck?
So I was sitting in the fucking, basically in the bathrooms for Taylor.
What tour was it for Avril Lavigne? What album? Please tell me.
Oh, it's embarrassing. It was the What the Hell album. Oh, no, she wasn't my even the big deal at that
fucking
moment.
Fucking God.
I know.
The first time you met Taylor, that wasn't the Speak Now tour. It was the Red tour, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Oh,
it was interesting that this was her first foray into international waters, really, because I think that she wasn't really a pop star around this time. Definitely in Asia, we all had the perception of her that she was a country girl. She wasn't on the radio. But her show was really intensely sold out. Like, people showed up to the airport to find her. I know a bunch of people that got Tea Party. And as you can imagine, I was enraged after the show when they got Tea Party and I didn't. So the Asian leg of the tour was significantly different to the US version. We did not get fed the way that you guys were fed. The main differences are we did not get Mean, which baffles me because it was about to be a single. So I don't understand why she didn't sing Mean. We didn't get Haunted. We didn't get Last Kiss, which, as you can imagine, really hurt my feelings. And we didn't get Our Song. So I was kind of pissed off that I didn't get any of the good songs, girl.
Didn't she also do like a UK leg or something? And because somebody was
a whole
like
Europe leg of in this the audience tour.
And I remember this because people were fucking pissed. So she's like at this like little small venue-ish, you know, for as compared to the rest of the shows on the tour, even compared to the Asia tours or Asia shows, excuse me, they were it was like small venues, and like she'd be like, what song should I play? And there was this gif set of like people very clearly hollering Tim McGraw, and she said, did I hear somebody say Enchanted? And it's like, nobody said that. And people were mad. They're like, nobody said that.
Also, if you watch that video, she then proceeds to butcher Enchanted. Like, she slaughters the song.
It's pretty embarrassing.
She sings it horribly. I actually remember that event so clearly. It was her at the Abbey Road Studios in the UK.
That fucking accent. Enchanted. Is that what I heard?
Like, oh, my God.
Taylor, shut up.
Shut up and get your cowboy boots on and yeehaw for me right now. So she does this flop tour. She only has like two outfit changes. She doesn't even have a piano for Back to December. She has a fucking keyboard. A keyboard.
Oh shit.
Doesn't even get a piano. The budget was $0 apparently for this entire performance. And it was 13 songs because she's a sadist.
Yep.
And my friend went to the my friend also had a similar dilemma to me. She had to choose between Katy Perry and Taylor in Dublin. And she chose Katy Perry. And lo and behold, she's sitting at Katy Perry minding her own business. And there's kind of a kerfuffle going on around her. She turns around. Who's sitting behind her? Taylor fucking Swift. If anyone wants a rare photo, I have a photo of Taylor standing in the back, swaying and listening to Katy Perry sing. So that's a rare photo because I haven't seen any photos of her at that concert. So if anyone wants it, hit me up.
Top fucking dollar, everybody.
So the first leg of that tour sells out. It does very well, which makes her look even stupider for doing such a tiny, mini, terrible version of the tour. But you know what? I'm grateful I got to see it. I got to see the gold dress, which was a moment. A moment.
Which gold dress are you talking about?
And then she finishes.
Which one?
The gold dress. Come on. You know the dress.
Girl.
The sky dress.
Oh, the flapper dress. Yeah.
She finishes this tour in London. And then on February 24th, we did a teaser for this on our Twitter the other day. She attends a hockey game with Cord Overstreet.
You know what? It's like I couldn't think of a more irrelevant sentence if I fucking tried. A hockey game with who? Cord Overstreet. Didn't she also go to another hockey game with Corey Monteith?
I think that she did.
She
so what
went
was she
to
doing here?
Two
what
hockey
was she
games
trying to accomplish?
Both with Glee actors. What does that mean? It means
and
that
so
she
what
was getting her promo. That's what it all means.
That's what it means. If you weren't around, you don't know how big of a deal Glee was. Glee was like bigger than Taylor Swift at this time, I would say. In
oh,
the
yeah
public consciousness.
Yep. Yep.
They were very obsessed. So Taylor was like, all right, I tried it out with the Jonas Brother. I did pretty well with that one. Let's try the Glee Boys, see how those go.
I have not seen that
never
since those images came onto my screen many moons ago on Tumblr.com. That's the only place I've ever seen his face.
Him and his lip injections. I have not seen him since. They don't even look like they're having a good time. And the candidates, it looks like they're just literally sitting next to each other for a photo op, which is what it is. But Taylor got a blowout. This is when she starts to experiment with having a blowout. She looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I
think she looked really good. She looked related to him.
Yes, that was a problem. That's a problem she's continued to have, shall we say.
Shall we say.
And I would say, I noted that the candidates were friendly, but not romantic looking.
Yeah, they were definitely just fucking sitting there. They didn't even look like they were having a conversation. Dude.
They shook hands afterwards. They exchanged business cards and they went home.
That's all there is to it, folks.
So February 27, 2011, we get the Vanity Fair Oscar party. And can I just thank God for this, sir. Oh. Her hair is pulled back. She's wearing a tight, short gold dress and she has a red lip.
Yes. Okay.
It was a look. And she hung out with Selena Gomez, my queen, Blake Lively, and Emma Stone. And apparently this is where she had a little run-in with Jake Gyllenhaal. He also attended this party. And according to a very dubious gossip site, they had a quiet conversation in the corner, but it didn't look romantic. I believe it. Taylor said they were still talking for a long time. I believe it.
Yeah, but you know what's weird about that is that, like, they don't really go to the same events ever. But I think Jake just, like, doesn't generally go to events anymore that I've heard of. So it's just, like, weird to me that he's, like, the main dude, aside from John Mayer, which I think that's more of a case of her avoiding him. But with Jake Gyllenhaal, it's like, they just, like, they never run into each other. It's not like Joe Jonas, and it's not like Harry Styles. It's like, how did they even meet? You know what I mean? Same thing with Joe Alwyn. I mean, like, I know how her and Joe met, obviously. But it's just so strange to me that...
Can you imagine a conversation between 2010 Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal? Like, I really can't picture what they would talk about.
No, it's so bizarre to me. Especially because, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is such a weird fucking dude. His voice is weird. His eyes are weird. Like, he's attractive, don't get me wrong. But, like, his eyes are huge. He looks like a lemur. It's just, like, it doesn't...
Yeah, he does.
Everything about him is so weird. It's just, that, to me, I feel like nobody ever talks about how fucking weird of a relationship it was. And also, the fact that it was weird, coupled with the fact that it was obviously very impactful, it's just, like, what the fuck? Like, I want to know
more. Yeah, and that we've really... We've heard nothing about it, really. This is the most mysterious one.
And it's like
so
the,
I would be
one,
very curious to hear.
She's written the most about it, and it's like, as much as we know about it, we also know nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And it's her most prolific songs, too. Like, very heartbreaking songs about this particular relationship. Like, All Too Well, I mean, it speaks for itself,
it
ladies.
It fucking does, ladies. It speaks.
This particular event produced one of our favorite, or at least one of my favorite, gifts of all time, which is Taylor looking around shiftily and putting her hand up and touching a fire lamp and getting burned and very quickly removing her I would say that was a good night. We were well fed. A little bit later, on March 13th, we get Mean Service to Country Radio as the third single from Speak Now. And hear me out, ladies. This was a very strange time for us because it is the one and only time Taylor has pushed two singles concurrently, like really at the same time. So Mean came first. My theory is that she put Mean to country radio and The Story of Us to pop radio.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But Mean became the breakout hit from Speak Now. Because Speak Now, while we all agree, is an incredible album, it wasn't a singles album. It didn't have the Shake It Off, the Love Story. It really was kind of a whole body of work. But Mean, if you had to make the argument that there was one song that Taylor kind of carried forward as a hit, it would be Mean.
Yeah.
And it peaked at number 11 on the Hot 100, and it went number one on country radio. And there was much talk of Bob Lesfetz, but mostly because he talks about himself.
Yeah, he definitely brought himself up because, honest to God, if he had never, like, piped the fuck up and been like, "This song is about me," I never
No one would know.
Nobody would ever fucking know. He loved the limelight, I think. I think he loved listening to himself speak.
For sure. This was around the time that he had a phone conversation with Taylor. And Taylor's publicist got in touch with him and said, "Taylor wants to give you a call. Can you talk?" And he said, like, was difficult about the whole thing, but eventually took the call. He has a whole account of this on his blog. So if you'd like to go and read it, be free. I don't want you to give him that click, though, so just listen to what I have to say. He calls Taylor, and Taylor says, "Why are you so mean to me?" Like, she just very frankly asks, like, "Why do you hate me so much? What is it that I do that bothers you so much? And what do you think I can do to become better?" And the fact that she thought that this fucking flop could give her any meaningful advice or help her in her career when he can't even chart higher than our podcast about her. But he basically told her that he thought she was a bad singer and that she needed more training. And he also said to her, "You need to go and listen to Blue by Joni Mitchell." And she listened to Blue. We talked about this before, Madeline, but what happened after she listened to Blue?
Well, we know what happened after she listened to Blue by Joni Mitchell. An album titled Red came out. But it blows my mind that some random white fucko who has no bearing on anything had as much of an impact on her when there have been so many people who have said so much worse shit about her. It's like, what is it about this fucking guy?
To your surprise, I have interrupted this podcast to deliver you a brief message, and that message is, please follow us on Spotify and stream and download our episodes. Also, subscribe to us on Apple Music and leave us a 5-star review. We love reading those. If you'd like to get us on Twitter, where you can demand things from us for the next episode or harass us into posting a new one, please come and join us at T-Swift Podcast. We will be periodically letting you know what's going on, sharing some throwback memes, and drumming up the hype for the next episode. Please also do us a favor and chuck us a retweet whenever we post our new episode. It really helps us out, and we're trying to get to 10,000 streams. So let's go, Swifties.
His main gig was writing for his own blog, not writing for Rolling Stone.
I know, it's like, it's not like it's the Ratatouille guy. One of a lot of people's favorite fucking albums to a man named Bob.
I have to give credit where credit is due. Thanks, yep. Bob. Mean is serviced as the next single. It does pretty well. On April 3rd, she performs Mean at the ACM Awards, and this is where the iconic Mean Lean is born. I love that shit.
I actually really enjoy it too. It's cute. It makes a really good gif. What else is there to say?
What else do you want from us?
Yeah.
She's had many iterations of that prairie dress, but this specific one was extremely ugly. It was like gray. It had a very high collar. She definitely improved on it for the tour and then for the Grammy performance, but this particular isolated prairie dress was not my favorite. And she wins Entertainer of the Year, of course, because she's a legend and she is the entertainer of every year. So April 5th, she goes on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I don't even know why I put this in because it is the weirdest, most forgettable appearance. I just only remembered it doing research for this. She's wearing a very 2011 polka dot red dress. Her hair is back and she's sitting beside The Rock. and they get interviewed concurrently. It's so weird.
I fucking miss shit like that. She doesn't do things like that anymore.
This is when the opening of an envelope could attract the allure of Taylor Swift. It really could. She said, oh, you want me to perform in the airport? I'll be there. Keep in mind that back in March 13th, Mean was serviced to radio. On April 19th, a month and a week later, she releases The Story of Us as a single. And it is with mixed reviews, with critics preferring her to stick with her country roots. They didn't get what they wanted, did they? And it peaked at number 41 on the Hot 100. What do you think about The Story of Us being a single?
Made sense. I mean, I guess that it did, because like coming from Speak Now did not have a lot of single-worthy songs, and it's no secret. I think everybody could listen to that album and be like, gee, I wonder what song she's going to send to fucking radio. I have no fucking idea. And Story of Us is...
I think we were like that.
I guess they sent it to radio. I mean, I don't know. They did what they had to. They did what they had to do.
And you know what? It didn't do very well. Says what needs to be said about it.
I think that Enchanted would have charted higher than Story of Us. I genuinely believe that.
There was a radio mix of Enchanted. Do you remember it? There was a radio edit of Enchanted, and it was pretty good.
I don't remember that.
They cut it down to like 3 minutes. You should Google it. It's interesting.
Oh, shit. Okay. I will take a peekaboo. But can you imagine? Story of Us should have been the tour video, and Sparks Fly should have been a cinematic masterpiece worthy of an Oscar. And what did we get?
I'm starting to think, looking back on it, the Speak Now era was not great for videos. I didn't love any of those videos. The Mine video I liked, but the rest of them I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, like, even as Speak Now being my favorite era and my favorite album, none of the videos, I mean, yes, Mine sort of stands out, but even, like, comparing it to other videos from other eras, like, it doesn't quite match up. Like, it's the best video from the Speak Now era, but that's not saying very much.
It doesn't make the top five of best music videos of
No. And that kind of sucks.
May 6th, the Mean music video comes out. It is directed by Declan Whitebloom, who I've never heard from again. And it was inspired by her ACM Awards performance, and it was considered trend-chasing for its empowering message, seen also by Firework by Katy Perry and Raise Your Glass by Pink. And it was described so kindly by New York Magazine as cliche, didactic, self-impressed, and studiously unrevealing.
You know, I hate shit like that, because it's just like, say that you don't like it and go. Like, you don't have
just
to
say you think it's a flop and get out of here.
16 adjectives to say how much you fucking hate something. I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I could probably count on one hand the number of times I've seen that video, but it was cute.
Yep.
Like, what is there to shit on? It's trend chasing. She's just trying to fit in with the zeitgeist. It's like, well, the song is literally about what the video is about. So explain to me how she's trend chasing when all she's doing is making a video about a song.
Being a pop star is inherently zeitgeisty and trend chasing. Like, your job is to stay relevant and to like create stuff that people like. So you have to pay attention to what other people are doing. So I think that, you know, there's a little bit of that. But I liked that one scene where she's shimmying, you know, the one.
I know exactly.
In the Mean video. And we got some, I like it. I think it's cute. I like her hair. I like the old timey feel. I thought it was kind of a serve. So, the rest of the video, like you said, one hand. Yeah. The amount of times I've seen it. But it was cute.
What I've always wished for that video, not that I'm saying that I regret that she put in like the little like bullying, anti-bullying messages. Like, I'm not saying that, but I do wish that, do you know the picture in the album booklet that's like of her and she's like tied up on the train tracks? It's like that old timey.
Love that.
Yeah.
I wish that,
you know, like they would have done like the 1920s like flapper aesthetic that she did do in the video, and then also did shit like that and like have it been like a silent movie with like little, I think that would have been really fucking cute.
May 11th, however, we get the Ellen Show performance and CoverGirl promotion. So she surprises a fan with VIP Speak Now tour tickets. Jealous. And she talks about how she refuses to complain that living a public life is hard. I remember this interview so well. She was like, I would never complain about the paparazzi, or I would never say anything about going to the mall being kind of a social experience for me now. Like, I have no right to complain. I asked for it. I get to do what I love. And I ate that shit up, man. I got my knife and fork out, and I was like, yes. Thank queen. You, humble queen.
Feed me. I love that shit. I was like, yeah.
Thank you, Taylor.
She's so graceful and classy.
She was wearing that very weird schoolgirl outfit, you know, the white shirt with the loose.
Yeah. It was like a Story of Us promo, in a way.
Yep. She did Story of Us. She did that CoverGirl thing where Ellen was like, squint, run, like you're mad.
Yeah.
I don't think Taylor's an actress. I don't know how many times I've said that. So whenever she tries to do a bit, I'm predisposed to not liking it or feeling embarrassed by it.
Do you remember SNL?
Of course I do. The official Evolution of a Stank podcast statement on Taylor's acting is that we don't want to see it.
I really don't want to see it. Am I going to go to the fucking theater like a slave and watch Cats? God, yes, I am. Against my will.
Will I suffer through it?
But I'm not going to like it.
On May 22nd, 2011, we get the Billboard Music Awards. And can I just say, great gown, beautiful gown. She looked amazing. This was the side part blowout. Yep. This was on Tumblr for weeks. Months, years. She won Best Country Album for Speak Now, deserved. Mm-hmm. Country Artist, deserved. And Top 200 Artist. Will Schuster takes a moment away from helping his marginalized Glee Club members to present her award. So good for her. Good for him. She gets more of that Glee promo.
Yep.
And she takes a very ironic picture in hindsight with Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. And then May 24, 2011, the Story of Us video comes out. I don't think we need to spend much time on this. The video was filmed at Vanderbilt University. And she was praised for being more adult and less high school. And tornadoes hit the set while she was filming.
It doesn't even make any fucking sense to me. Like, how is that more adult? Because she's in college instead of in a high school hallway?
Literally. Because she filmed it in college.
Literally basic.
You know, you could make the argument that it was kind of a cool setting. You know, the silence quite this loud in a library. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, but, like, there was way too much stuff about, like, being in school.
During the Story of Us music video shoot, there was a tornado. Don't you think that was a bad omen that it was a single choice?
Yeah, it was a poor single choice, and the God said no. And she went ahead and did it anyway. And she flopped.
This is what happens when you ignore the word of God. Yeah. And on May 21st, the Speak Now tour begins. And it begins with Speak Now, Help Now in Nashville to raise money for the said tornado, the relief effort that happened afterwards. It raised $750,000 for the final dress rehearsal show, which was Speak Now, Help Now. We got a few things in this tour that start mythologizing for the fandom, which is the arm lyrics. So she writes in Sharpie down her entire arm. Sometimes I don't understand how she fits so many words on her arm. She did it. In her beautiful little handwriting, she continues the 13 on her hand, and she calls it a nightly mood ring. And we, the slaves that we are, continue to try and decipher what she means. Sometimes it's even Selena Gomez lyrics. And the tour begins for real in Omaha. And the first arm of the tour are You've Got Every Right to a Beautiful Life. Madeline, can you tell me where that lyric is from?
It is from a number one worldwide hit entitled Who Says by Selena Gomez.
I actually am obsessed with that.
I'm grown. That song still makes me cry.
It's not exactly secret songs, but she leaves a spot in the set every night for her to do some covers. And I think that we get some amazing covers on this tour. So the ones that I've listed are Unpretty, Who Knew, Nashville, Drops of Jupiter, Betty Davis Eyes, Lose Yourself, and Sugar We're Going Down. Those were the really notable ones I picked out. Do you have any favorites, Madeline?
Nashville and Drops of Jupiter are probably my two favorites. Nashville, honestly, I wish she didn't put that on the DVD CD combo, but I have like an HQ of it.
Yes, there's a HQ on YouTube. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
But I respect wherever it came from because I love it. I would have taken it over Betty Davis Eyes on the actual CD. I would never take Drops of Jupiter off of anything because I love the cover. I'm obsessed. That makes me cry too. It's very emotional for me. Because I just think she sounds so good and it's so fucking good. But Nashville and Drops of Jupiter are my two favorites. I will say, however, that my least favorite, and I hate so much, about the fact that she chose to do this. And it is The Sweet Escape. I cannot believe that she fucking put me through that. But in my
I didn't even put that on the list.
Well, it's not on the list. It's not on the list because it shouldn't be on any list. But list, everybody, Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani featuring Akon was number one for way too long, considering it's one of the worst songs that has ever been created. And Taylor disrespected me personally by playing it when she knew that I hated it.
I hear Taylor go woohoo yeehoo for 4 minutes.
And it's like, I honestly, people stand it so hard because they're like, oh my God, she sings the fast part really well. It's like, yeah, Gwen Stefani can do it. It can't be that fucking hard.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean.
I will concur with you and say that my favorite cover is Nashville. I just, the emotion, the power. And like, I think for a long time, I thought that was her song for a really long time. And then I realized that like, oh, it's by this random ass hick.
Did you listen to the original? I hate it. I don't like it at all.
It's terrible. And Taylor does have this trend of like covering songs and making them way better. Untouchable is a good example of that.
Yep.
The Nashville cover, I don't know, just means so much to her. And also, sidebar, it meant a lot to me. When I was flying to Nashville for the first time ever to go to her house, I was playing that shit on repeat and crying.
Blasting that shit.
I was getting dragged across the country on Twitter, but I was
Oh my God, you were getting dragged across some fucking country on Twitter. That's so fucking classic.
From coast to coast, I was getting dragged.
Zach was absolutely flayed. But he was still going to Taylor's house, so it's like...
I still went there, and I still did it. So to all my detractors, you want what I have. I also really like the Unpretty cover. I think that one is really good. It's just too short. And in this slot, sometimes she sang secret songs from her own catalog. One time she did Superman. And I just think that that is the biggest flop she's ever written. So she didn't do it. This was a movie.
No. Of course she fucking didn't. She would never feed us that way. You know that.
Nope. She hates us. And the opening acts kind of rotated a lot. But they included Need to Breathe, who are still doing well to this day. They just had an album debut in the top 10 2 years ago. And Hunter Hayes, who I think is a short flop.
He's the kid that did I Wanna Wrap You Up. Yeah, it's the flavor of the week. Just a blonde boy.
He was the flavor of the hour. Like, he didn't even get a week or a day. The opening acts weren't particularly interesting for this tour, but they don't start to get interesting until the Red Tour, so we'll forgive her. So let's go through the tour. We'll go through the songs, say our favorites and what outfits we liked and what performances were our favorites. It cannot be stated how wonderful Sparks Fly was on the Speak Now tour. It really just can't be encapsulated in words.
I think that best tour opener for Taylor, I'm obligated as a stan to say Ready for It, but Sparks Fly is
you have a disease,
iconic.
Ma'am.
I don't have a fucking disease. Ready for It was the best goddamn tour opener. And we are going to go to the mat about this. Ready for It is the ultimate bop.
Madeline does have a disease. I think that she does.
I don't have a disease.
Sparks Fly, she was the supreme. And that dress, the shaking, you know, the little wiggles she does, the stomping, the prologue. Oh, I don't think you should wait. I think you should speak the fuck now. I do. I think that you should
genuinely
speak now,
believe
Madeline.
That. I did. I said Ready for It. This is the best tour opener.
You spoke then. You spoke then. What do you think of the dress? Come on. We love that dress.
Yeah,
we
love that dress.
That's the best costume she's
ever
had.
Definitely, like, I think that that dress and the Fearless Tour dress, you know, the one I'm talking about, are similar. But the Sparks Fly dress is far superior.
When I think of Taylor on stage, this is immediately what comes to mind. This dress, the curl.
The one that I think of a lot is the purple Dear John dress.
Interesting that we both picked ones from earlier eras. I wonder what the new stans would say.
I really wonder what they would.
What would they say? That freaking high-waisted skirt and a crop top? Come on.
I mean, Jesus Christ. But I will say,
get a personality.
If we're going to talk about comparing outfits, the black boots that she insisted upon wearing on both the Speak Now tour and the Fearless tour, I wanted to burn them. And at least
they didn't even have a kitten heel.
No, they had like a quarter inch of a pop It's embarrassing. They were so fucking ugly.
So in that same dress, we get Mine. I think the performance of Mine is so adorable. The vocals are served. The vocals are amazing. We get the slider guitar, which is far superior to the pop version.
Yes.
And it's that red guitar. I love the red guitar. And she does her hand heart at the end.
In my opinion, the Speak Now tour has a lot of really quintessential Taylor Swift stuff in it. Like, I feel like I'm always saying this about Speak Now. Like, Speak Now is the Taylor Swift album. It is the quintessential Taylor Swift album. That's just, like, my opinion.
It is, though.
But it sort of is. Like, even people who, like, oh, Red is my favorite album or 1989 is my favorite album. No one can deny that Speak Now is to this day. The just, album. Like, it captures the essence of what Taylor Swift has been, will always be, continues to be. Especially like the hand heart shit, the 13 shit, the lyrics on the arms, the doing a different song every night. Like this, the Speak Now was the revolution.
Yeah, I agree. I love this tour so much. I thought the production, it was more like a musical, like a stage production than it was a concert. It had so many moving parts. I loved the Koa Wood stage. I thought that was so pretty.
Yes.
She leaves for a little costume change and she pops up in her prairie dress for our song. And she does a really cute, like, banjo fiddle duel with Caitlyn. And then they get into doing our song. And there's, like, a little porch, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love whenever she plays our song with a full band. Because the crowd fucking eats it up. As soon as that fiddle comes in, everybody goes wild.
It's like the fucking mosh pit opens up. It's like the gates of hell.
And just they like, should.
Yeah.
This song just makes me happy.
It literally doesn't age.
Then she does Mean, which is like similar vein. And she does the little clops, you know, and Caitlyn and Liz come up and share her mic at the end of Mean,
yeah,
which is cute. But I just can never forget that song kind of is a little bully-esque when it comes to the, you're pathetic and alone in life and a liar.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, did she lie?
Mm-mm, she didn't lie. I mean, we're still out-charting him on our first go around.
Yep. We are trying higher than the Bob Lefsetz Chronicles or whatever it's called.
Then she disappears off the stage again and she comes back with Apologize and You're Not Sorry. And she plays this beautiful white baby grand piano and she's sitting in this pretty blue dress and she's serving face to the audience, looking sad, thinking about Taylor Lautner. The mashup, the power that has. And when she went into You're Not Sorry at the end, I about lost my mind.
I mean, I love the mashup, don't get me wrong. I'm not shooting on it at all, but it's kind of one of those instances where I kind of wish I would have just had Back to December.
So you're a purist, really. You want her to shut up.
I mean, I like the mashups. I loved when she did Goes Around, Comes Around, and You're Not Sorry.
That's because You're Not Sorry is a flop on its own, so it needs
that. Exactly. She always chooses, like, the song that matters to me to mash up with some bullshit. Wildest Dreams and Back to December. I never just get to hear my favorite song.
The best part about this performance is all of her dancers lined up playing fake violins. That's probably my favorite part. Then we get to Taylor's least favorite song of all time, Better Than Revenge, where she actually mimes out slapping her dancers.
And you know, I think it's really, really funny that Liz is actually one of the ones, because Liz kind of looks like Camilla Bell.
The beginning intro of like, leave a message, make it hot, and then the now go stand in a corner. It's scary. She's scary. Taylor Swift is scary.
She was really fucking mad.
Then she does everyone's least favorite song, but actually a cute tour performance, Speak Now. So she does the little standing at the top of the cute staircase and running down the aisle with the white gloves on, yeah, which I really think she wore to protect herself from the swine she was about to touch in the crowd. and she runs to her groom. There's a bride on stage.
So in that beautiful chic blue chiffon dress, she walks her ass down through the crowd towards the B stage, which is a beautiful, light-up, kaleidoscopic tree with pretty fairy lights and a rotating stage.
So then we get Fearless with the ukulele, and I think this is the fucking cutest thing in the entire world. It elevates the song. It makes it so happy and pure and whimsical. And she mashes it up with Hey Soul Sister and I'm Yours, which tells us a lot about what period of time this was.
Oh, it says
that those were the two relevant songs.
Yeah. Also, incidentally, I fucking hate I'm Yours. And I also fucking hate Hey Soul Sister. So I fucking hate this performance. Fearless ukulele part itself is fine. But I'm also being forced to be subjected to the two worst songs of 2011.
Unfortunately for you and you being a hater, this is one of the good ones. She's never played the ukulele again. I don't think. I don't think she's busted out that
you
old.
You know, and it actually really pisses me off because she could have busted that fucking thing off for stay, stay, stay. And what she did, she cut it out of the tour. I don't think I ever actually noticed how much I hate mashups until we
were talking about it
in this moment.
So next up, we have Last Kiss. And can I just say that I'm so grateful that this performance exists. I love this song. And she plays it on my favorite guitar, which is her blue koi fish guitar, which has been paid dust since. But, you know,
haven't seen that boy since. We have that, though. And I also really think that it was a really good choice to play it on the B stage because, like I said, the tree really ties the whole fucking thing together. It really does. And it's very emotional because in the tour video, there are girls crying. And I was one of them.
Yeah, and I felt it. One of my favorite things to have witnessed was when Taylor hugged Taylor Lautner, who was in the audience, and then went on stage and sang it in front of him, even though it wasn't about him. But she also sang this in front of Joe Jonas, which I think is really kind of impressive. She must have felt very emotional on that day when she sang it to his face.
There are so many like little instances like that in these kind of like interim years. I forgot that even happened. But the second you said it, I was like, oh, my God. I wish there were HQs of her hugging Taylor Lautner.
And also she sings And This Is For the Boy from Michigan during Back to December. Remember? Do you remember that?
I do. Oh, God, I love them. God, I wish they could have been together forever.
And there's also my actual favorite Speak Now Tour nugget is there is a video of Taylor performing Last Kiss and the Swifties are everywhere sobbing, right? It's at the B stage. In the B stage also is Kris Jenner, Kylie Jenner, and Kendall Jenner, and I think even Kim Kardashian. They had come to the show that night and there's just a video of them standing there looking around while all of these Swifties are sobbing to what to an outsider might seem like a boring song. Not for me, but maybe for the other one. And they're just kind of standing there with their smiles on like, what the fuck is happening? And all the Swifties are like having complete meltdowns.
I remember them like tweeting about it. They're like, love the Taylor Swift show. Wow, what a great time. I remember that.
It was so funny to watch Kim Kardashian stand there and listen to Last Kiss with all the crying Swifties. Then we get on to You Belong With Me, and I think this is so cute. She strums, she sings, she walks back through the crowd.
I like how many like different kinds of performances we've gotten for You Belong With Me. It's really gone through a lot.
It's had an evolution.
Yeah, it really has. Love Story, on the other hand, the only time she ever did differently was fucking 1989. Ever since then, it's just been fucking Love Story.
So cute. And also, don't forget, we got that video of her singing You Belong With Me, having a good time, and then a fan blows her skirt up, and her...
Oh, yeah, that's literally iconic. Her
ass cheeks are everywhere.
Her cheeks are out, and people made fun of her.
I know. And I hate it. Ellen asked her
about it on her show.
She's
wearing, like,
her
fucking Spanx. I remember that. She's in her fucking Spanx, which is like, I know it's like, it makes it like kind of less embarrassing, but the cheeks are emphasized.
I know. And also like, it didn't go down fast enough and she didn't realize, but she handled it like a pro, obviously. Someone got fired that night. Whoever laid out those wind machines. After You Belong With Me, we take a dip down Depression Lane with Dear John. And this performance, wow, the range of emotions displayed in this performance. I mean, I take it back. Maybe she is an actor.
This is honestly, in my opinion, like the best moment of the entire show, if I'm speaking my truth. Dear John, I mean, I'm biased because I love that fucking song. The fireworks went off. And let me tell you, sisters, it is a emotional, religious experience, unlike any that we have ever seen before. The only other time in the show she used pyro is in Sparks Fly, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of expecting it, but you're also kind of not. And then it happens, and it's, like, so spectacular. And she's holding
And just the lyrics, they come when she says, I'm shining like fireworks over your sad, empty town. Like, Taylor is a professional
It gives
revenge.
Me goosebumps. I'm literally not even watching it, and I have goosebumps. It's just, like, fucking incredible. It really takes me away.
The vocals. She served us with those vocals.
She really did. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better live performance of any of my favorite songs.
And she continues on the winning streak after that with Enchanted. Really cute performance. I love the dress. I love she's barefoot.
She was, yeah.
There were, again, some cool trees on stage. She loved her props during this tour. She walked downstairs. she's doing like a duet with like a male ballet dancer, and it's all very whimsical and, you know, enchanted
like. I like that she extends the please don't be in love with someone else.
Oh,
because I mean, as we all know, it deserved to be highlighted and emphasized.
And the fact that we got it like in her lower register and in the falsetto, like she didn't sacrifice one for the other and made it longer for us. Oh, cool. Yeah. And have you noticed that there are like bongos throughout the show? Have you ever noticed that? Like through the
songs? Oh my God.
I have fucking noticed the bongos.
It like I didn't for maybe like a couple years. And then one day I was like listening to it and I was like, every bongos song. In every single fucking song.
Sometimes I'm like, you know, I could have done without the bongos during Back to December.
Me, actually, it's actually funny that you brought it up during Enchanted, because the main song that I don't want bongos in is Enchanted.
And then we go into Haunted, which is so dramatic. This is like peak drama, Taylor. Yeah,
because I love the transition, because she's like in the Enchanted Forest, and then the Enchanted Forest turns evil.
And she comes out of a fucking bell.
Yeah, she comes out of the bell. Like, she's like, oh my God, it's so scary all of a sudden. And she disappears, and then she comes out of the bell.
And she pretends to hit it. So funny if you watch up close videos, because she literally, the intensity of that moment where she's like on the ground. Do you know what I'm talking about? And she flips her hair. And she's like,
I know
singing
exactly what you're talking about.
I know.
Yo, my God, it's so fucking good.
Wow. And
serve me
pirate tea.
So she wears it with the fucking boots again.
I was gonna say the boots make a reappearance. She takes them off and then she goes, okay, back again. One more for the road. She does Haunted, and I don't know how she logistically managed so many costume changes in one show, but she really worked. Then she goes to Long Live, and you know, this is the only context that I will accept Long Live in. I only want to hear Long Live when it's with the glitter dress, with the glitter guitar, on the Speak Now tour, with the fucking agency all lined up in a row. And she's like basically licking her asses on stage with the rain in Gillette Stadium. That's an iconic visual.
I liked her dress. Like simple black glittery dress. I liked the glitter guitar. I liked that she was all lined up the same way that she had done Fearless on the Fearless tour, actually, incidentally.
That's true. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Comes back for an encore. First of all, this dress is fucking ridiculous. It's huge. You can't even see her in it. That's how big it is. Like, you really can't see her body moving. You just see her arms and her head.
There's so much tulle in it.
There's just so much. And then she sits down on that couch, which I kind of love. She does 15, and she does this whole speech, and I think this is still around that time where 15 was a really important song and message for her fans to be hearing.
Yeah.
So I loved that she sat there and did 15, and then she did it by herself and all her band came over to sit down with her. I think she swaps it out for Safe and Sound or Ours. And then she finishes with Love Story. She gets onto that little balcony, and God, I was scared every fucking night that stupid rickety balcony was going
to
break.
That's nothing compared to the fucking bone structure that was Reputation. that thing was not scary.
If you watch videos of it, like, there's one where it stops working and she looks really scared. It's very dramatic. She like runs up the stairs. Her goodbyes are always so extra. She like really draws it out and stands there and looks like it was a show from start to finish.
It was a key moment. Let's leave it at that for now.
And with Madeline's prophetic words, we end this episode of The Evolution of a Snake. Please remember to follow us on Spotify, stream and download our episodes. Subscribe to us on Apple Music and rate our podcast 5 stars so that we can beat Bob Lesfetz again. And follow us on Twitter at T-Swift Podcast for any questions you have about the things you hear in these episodes. We will see you very soon.